and welcome to another TeachNet Learning Podcast. I'm Pat Brennan, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Sarah Gibbons and Colleen Foy from Old Bawn Community School, Talla in Dublin. And they're going to talk to me about how they are using Gen AI tools for teaching, learning and assessment. Welcome to the TeachNet podcast, Sarah and Colleen.
Thanks, Emil, for having us, Pat. Delighted to be here.
Well, it's great, Sarah, to have you back. When we spoke last March, we were talking about the journey that Old Bawn has been on to become a Microsoft Showcase school. And I remember you mentioned to me at the time the emergence of AI and how you'd been inundated with requests from teachers for AI-focused CPD. And I said, oh God, we must come back to this. But listen, it's great to have you back on. So what I might do, Sarah, is start there. Start at the beginning. This time we're talking about Old Bawn's AI journey.
Okay, wow. And it's quite a journey that we're on at the moment. So I suppose when we did speak, I can't believe that was 8 months ago at this point, but when we did speak, we were really only slowly starting to play with it. And I think one of the most interesting things with AI is AI has been around for years and years. But what we're now looking at is the explosion of generative AI and the impact that that's having on education. So back in about March, I'm going to say maybe February, March, our staff were starting to ask me a little bit about it. How could we use it? Had I any ideas? And we have a brilliant teaching and learning committee, which Colleen is actually on. And we were finding when we were meeting as a group, all we did was talk about AI and some ideas and some of the fun things that we could do with AI. So we decided to actually change our training a little bit that we had been doing, our CPD that we had been doing for the last number of years. And we just went with AI for a 1 hour staff meeting. And this was kind of, it was a bit daunting, I suppose, for me delivering it, because I knew that some staff were very scared of it, had no idea about it, thought that it was about robots taking over our jobs and all of those scary things that you hear around AI. But at the time, I was really of the view that this is just a progression of what we already do. It's another tool that we can use. And much like the calculator, which I believe in the 1950s, maths teachers protested against calculators being used in schools. And Colleen is here smiling beside me, knowing she couldn't teach without it. So I feel that AI will go that way. So we wanted to try and get a little bit ahead of the curve in that I wanted to eliminate some of the fears that teachers had around AI. And we just looked at it really simply about how we could do some lesson planning and how we could do some quick assessments, all using AI. So using our regular model that we use for training, I created some training videos. All of the staff went into little rooms in small groups of four or five. They were led by our Microsoft Innovative experts, and they looked at the videos and played. It's the only way to describe it. They sat and played in those rooms and got to see that AI could really benefit them and also help our students with better assessments and some more concrete examples in some of their lesson plans, more creative lesson plans, and so on and so forth. So we've exploded since then, kind of like anything in Old Bawn. Once we start slowly, we kind of then tend to gallop away. And we had a wonderful Microsoft training day at the beginning of September, where we all went out and we spent the entire day playing and exploring with AI, developing our prompt engineering skills. And we were trying to embed it in a very inclusive model. So we're trying to use AI as a way of tapping into all of our students. And my basis of the use of AI is actually UDL, Universal Design for Learning. So it's looking at how we can use AI to ensure that every learner in our class is able to access what we're doing and also have a little bit of fun.
A lot of progress in 8 months. I'm not surprised, as you say, when you start on something, you tend to seriously run with it. A couple of things before I bring Colleen in. You mentioned about the teacher-led training, which I think is really important for the teachers who are struggling a wee bit or a little bit worried about it. And I'm going to unpick that a wee bit more as we progress through this podcast. But really, I suppose the initial thing, the focus was on the generative AI tools that are already built into the 365 suite. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we are tending to try stay in the Microsoft suite purely for security reasons. We are very conscious of data. And obviously, these are learning models and they are dependent on taking data. And being a school, we are holding a huge amount of data. And Our teachers are wonderful. I'm saying things like, make sure you don't identify yourself, our students, and they're very, very conscious of that. But I also don't want any AI tool being able to access other data running in the background. So I probably should have said it at the beginning, that did prompt me a little bit to move with our AI training, because I was starting to hear of a lot of teachers using loads of amazing AI tools, but they were using our old born tenant to access these tools. And I was a little bit worried. So I spoke with Fintan, who we work with in Olive for Education, and he did recommend that we stick to Microsoft Copilot and the AI tools that are built all around Teams, OneNote and Copilot in order to keep everything safe and secure.
Yeah, and I mean, that's an interesting thing, because I think you need to come at this from a whole school perspective. And, you know, that is the problem when you have one teacher here, or one teacher there, trying in good faith to use these tools. There isn't the same, I suppose, walled garden around it as they would have if they had, they're using the full tenant and it's set up in such a way. And I know that the 365 for Schools does provide a lot of extra data protection layers. But I'm going to come back to that, Sarah, but I'd like to bring in Colleen here. Colleen's a science and maths teacher. Firstly, Colleen, can you tell me how you got started using Gen AI?
I started off doing the 21st Century Learning in Trinity, and we were really encouraged during that course to kind of really embrace new technologies. And I think that's kind of where I started to first hear about AI, and then obviously from Sarah.
How has generative AI changed the way you teach maths and science?
It's really, really helped me. And I suppose I also should have probably mentioned one of the reasons I kind of started to probably embrace AI is because I have two young children and I'm really busy. So if I'm being honest, it's really, really helped my planning, I suppose, and it's kind of streamlined how I plan in general. So yeah, that's been a big factor in kind of getting me interested in AI.
That's interesting, because last month's podcast, we spoke to two teachers at primary, and one of them used the exact same reason, you know, not having the same amount of time in the evenings because you have other responsibilities, that this was almost by accident how he got into using these tools, particularly from a planning perspective. Putting it simply, how do you use it now in your classes, and are your students using it, or is it specifically just for you for planning purposes and resource creation?
Okay, so I suppose at the moment, primarily I'm using it myself for planning and resources, but I am currently starting to use it with my third year science class. We're getting ready for our CBA2, which is a research-based project on science and society. So at the moment, we're kind of developing our skills now with Copilot, kind of with the hope for them to kind of get used to actually using Copilot, and I suppose how to become more literate in how to use it. And then my hope will be that they'll actually use that then. They'll be very confident using it, doing their CBA too.
Yeah, I think the digital, you know, and this is something that tends to sometimes get lost in the debate, the digital literacy thing is key when using AI. And it's a case of bringing the students through step by step and getting them to become responsible users of these tools. But before I leave that question, Colleen, I mean, what are the tools you'd use on a daily basis, AI tools?
I think, I suppose Copilot is my main. That's kind of my go-to. As Sarah mentioned, like before we had Copilot, I was using something else on the internet, but I suppose I use Copilot like several times a day, if I'm honest. I know most recently I just did the fourth year maths plan for the department. I used AI, I was able to. So we already have all our lessons planned. I was able to put in all the keywords and the learning outcomes and then the timeline I wanted, and even kind of request that we start on a specific topic that the other teachers wanted to do. And it kind of gave me back what I wanted. It was brilliant. So I suppose on a daily basis, I would be using Copilot.
The brilliant thing about these tools is it avoids the whole blank page syndrome. And, you know, if you're trying to write a plan, whatever you're trying to do, what we can do instead is go and ask Copilot or whatever bot it is, and they immediately give you that structure. But I suppose the other thing is the importance of the human in the loop too, is that we have to go and check it over and review and redraft and so on. But that ties me nicely in, Sarah, to how you're using it. I mean, I was lucky to attend that Microsoft Reinventing Education with AI event there back in the start of October. And you spoke at length about how you're using AI to support your work as deputy principal. You might give me, for the benefit of this podcast, you might give me an overview of that. Like, what are the Gen AI tools that you are using on a daily basis and how are you using them?
Okay, that's such a big question. And you said I spoke at length. You know I can speak for a very long time on any of these topics. But I am going to say Copilot again, and I know it seems like the two of us are completely indoctrinated here by Microsoft, but it is because we wanted to keep it on our tenant and we are using that first and foremost for everything. So you are going to hear me speaking about Copilot a lot, but it's, I suppose, the different ways that I use Copilot. But we also use any of the AI tools that are already built into Teams or OneNote, and things like building rubrics in Teams are generating ideas for lessons, especially when it's a substitute class. A lot of our teachers do that. So when we talk about Copilot, we're actually talking about all of AI in Microsoft, just to kind of clarify that. But where do I use it? It's a more of a question of where do I not use it at this point? And you really are after hitting the nail on the head with regard to the review and redraft. I use it to start everything for me. And then I try to be the human and bring the human element to anything that I look at that AI has generated for me. I started to use it for summaries and for kind of action lists that I would have to create. Anyone who's in any type of leadership role in a school knows that we are bombarded with circulars and new initiatives on literally a weekly basis. And there's a lot to read, there's a lot to take from it, and then we have to be able to break it down to deliver to our staff in a very simple form that is quick and easy for everybody to understand, because nobody wants to read all of the circular, but they want the pertinent information out of it. So I started by using Copilot to summarize any of the different circulars that would come, and I would ask it to highlight the five or six most important points or most repeated points within it. And then from that, I would pick out what I needed to actually read in more detail, because Copilot is absolutely brilliant for actually referencing where it's getting the information from. So it's really easy to find in detail where it is in a piece. And then from that, I would create an action, what I call an action list or a summary that I would actually deliver to the staff. When I do something like that, I then ask Copilot to be a confused teacher. And I was talking to Colleen, I actually use this in a class for students as well, be a confused student. So I actually tell AI to be confused and to challenge me on some of the information. So I would put in my summary, or I'd put in what I believe I'm going to deliver to the staff. I would ask Copilot to be confused about it and ask me questions, and it tests me. And I think that's really important in a leadership role, because you're standing up in front of 100 staff members who are relying on you to actually know the answers to their questions. And we are only humans and we do need to be tested. I don't have anybody at home that would sit and read a circular to test me. So AI is doing it for me. I would use it for difficult conversations. And I speak about this quite regularly. I was one of these, still am a little bit. I would be in the shower having a conversation on how I want it to go. But the problem with that would be, I'm answering myself and I'm giving myself the answer I want. I will actually bounce ideas off Copilot and I'll ask Copilot to be the other person on the other side of a conversation. And I have a lot of difficult conversations with parents, and it has really, really helped me to kind of create a structure and to stay on task in whatever a meeting will be, because anyone can bring you anywhere in a meeting. But anything that I would have practiced a little bit through Copilot keeps me totally focused on what we're there for. The other kind of main one that I started with was actually making communications accessible to everybody. So we have a huge amount of students that English wouldn't be their first language, and we deliver communications home on a very regular basis. And it was only a couple of, I'd say only a couple of months ago, that I actually realized we're sending everything in English. We'd the odd one maybe going in Ukrainian, the odd one in Polish, but we'd use translators all of the time. Now I will just generate a document. I have created a prompt that says all of the different languages that are the first languages of all of our families here in school. And then it generates the letter 23 times for me. And I know I can communicate that way with my families at home. So that's kind of where I started with it. Now I'm getting to kind of more juicy stuff, the data analysis. I am getting it. We do a lot of re-rooming here in school, where we'd have exams and we'd have to block out 20 classrooms for third and sixth years to go into, for example. And I spoke with another deputy who actually did it this time around, and it took her roughly 40 hours. I've now created a prompt where it did it for me at the weekend for our next set of exams in, I'd say, about 30 seconds. So we're now at the stage where we're getting to really, really use it, that it's going to benefit us, save us time. Everyone talks about AI saving time. I wasn't finding that, I'm going to be really honest, because I was still learning it. I was still playing. I had to master prompting and actually become a prompt engineer. And now that I've worked that out, I actually can see how we're going to save a lot of time.
So there's a couple of points just there I'll mention, because it's funny, I remember you talking about how you were using at that Microsoft event and how you were starting to go down the road of data analysis. I think there was some reference to a bathroom break spreadsheet, which is, you know, these are really practical things. You suddenly worked out from that that certain people in different classes were going to use the bathroom at the same time. And you were working, you saw these.
Yeah.
It's interesting what AI can do on that as well. It is about this time saving. And I must admit, I was the same initially, because there's a learning curve here, and let's not beat around the bush on that. It takes a while, like with anything, to get up to speed. You're not going to see the time saving straight away. You have to look at it down the road. But the other thing I'd say, just before I move on, that's the first time I've heard of AI being used as the so-called critical friend. That idea of bouncing conversations or things you might say, I think that's really interesting. And that's a new use to me. So it's funny, we all find different ways, Sarah, of using it. That brings me nicely, speaking of use, where do you stand at the moment around student use? I know last March when we spoke, anecdotally, you said, yes, all the students are using it, but maybe not for the right reasons, or some of them, you know, they're using it without any guidance. And I remember you saying at the time, there's no point in banning this stuff because teenagers being teenagers will find a way around it. So I suppose now, so many months down the road, how are your students using it? Have you put a structure on it? Is there a policy, or where are you at?
So we're in between all of those things. So Colleen already alluded to how she's using it. Well, sorry, she's teaching her students how to use it as part of their CBAs. And I think that's the really important part. It is teaching students to use it. They, of course, use it themselves. They're using it at home. They're playing with it as much as we're playing with it. But we have to, as educators, support them in their learning. And we do need a huge level of literacy, digital literacy, when it comes to AI and around ethics. And all of that is really important. And I loved listening to Colleen say that she is spending the time teaching it. So it is starting to be used. And I'm sure Colleen might be able to give another example or two. But we had a teacher who was sick, but it happened to be my subject. And I'm an economics teacher, so I decided to take the class for 6 weeks. And that gave me a massive opportunity to really try and use AI with students so that I could support the teachers with it. And myself and Colleen were just chatting just before we came on. And two prompts that our students loved the most were what we call the confused student and the naysayer. And it's very similar to what I spoke about with difficult conversations. With the confused student, I have created a prompt, and the confused student is where a student will upload maybe their PowerPoint notes on a particular topic or their handwritten notes or whatever it is. And they tell the chatbot to be a confused student, and they ask the chatbot to give back the information, but with mistakes. And then it is up to the student to correct the chatbot. And I was doing this with 6th years, and they absolutely loved it. They were so enthused by it. I actually did a little survey with them before and after, and some of them said they absolutely loved. They learned more trying to have to teach it the correct way, and they were allowed to use their notes. This was an assessment that wasn't a closed book assessment or anything, but they found that engaging constantly, it was like having a one-to-one tutor. So it was like me as a teacher sitting down challenging them, but I can't be in 27 seats at the one time. So AI was doing that for me. So that was a moment for me where I was like, yes, AI can be used for absolute good in the classroom with just a little bit of creative thinking around how to use it. And likewise, the naysayer is where the AI chatbot, they have to upload maybe a piece of work. So again, they were doing the economics research project at the time, and they had to submit their first draft, and they had asked the co-pilot to be the naysayer. So to be that critical analysis, ask them to push maybe an opinion a little bit more, challenge them on their viewpoint, And again, the students absolutely loved it because they were able to reflect properly on their work with the guidance of the AI chatbot.
What it comes back to, Sarah, is that it's looking at it creatively. And these are creative ways, the naysayer or the confused and so on. And it's kind of reverse engineering to a certain degree.
Absolutely, yes.
How you go about doing it. But actually, Colleen, I might bring you back in there because I know you spoke about how you're using it with your students, science students are doing the Junior Cert CBA. Are there other areas you're using it in? And have you taken any feedback or what is the feedback from your students been about using these tools?
Well, I suppose in science, we kind of, with the class that I'm doing it with at the moment, we've kind of used it for some definition learning, for example. Like I'll put the students in pairs and I'll ask one of the students to ask Copilot to come up with clues, for example, an organ. And the student will read out the clues and their partner will have to guess the organ. And they really, really like that.
That's cool. So, yeah,
they've been really enjoying that. And then I suppose just really on a basic level myself using it, I found it really useful. I have a mixed ability maths class. And I find with maths and algebra in particular, there's just never enough questions for them to practice. So it means that I'm using Copilot, I can get kind of three different worksheets for three different levels in the one class very, very quickly. So that's something I've been kind of using a lot this year with my second year maths. And it's just really, really, really beneficial.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I think differentiation is one of the key things. As any teacher would tell you, when you're trying to do these things manually and you're trying to differentiate it, you just don't have the time to do it. And this is the brilliant thing with these AI tools, be it if it's text or whatever, they can level the text for different people. But I suppose what I want to circle back to, what I'd like to, I suppose, talk to you, Sarah, initially about is the whole area of professional development. Now, I hear this phrase all the time and you've used it. It's about giving teachers the opportunity to play with the tools. You kind of explained already about how you structured professional development for teachers. But what about students? Colleen here has referenced how she is teaching them. But is there a structure there? What are your thoughts, I suppose, in that area?
Yeah, so as much as I believe in learning through play, when it's coming to something like AI, I don't believe the students should have as much freedom to play because they are actually very literate when it comes to using computers. And you don't want them to use it for the wrong reason or go down a route that they shouldn't be going down. So we're taking apart our acceptable usage policy to now include AI, which hadn't been in there when we made the acceptable usage policy only 2 years ago. So we don't want to ban it at all. We want to use it. We want to explore things like Colleen is speaking about here, some of that amazing teaching and learning that is happening. But we do have to do it in a very controlled manner for everybody's safety. And it's not just the data. It is also the ethics around it and the responsibility that every student has to use it correctly. And they've to learn all about copyright and they've to learn about, you know, sources and all of those things that I suppose we've always alluded to in CSPE and SPHE, but now they're actually living it. So we are going to have by the end of this year an AI policy in place. As I mentioned at the beginning, we obviously have extra securities because we only use Copilot. Most things are blocked on our network, and that's quite important to us because we don't want any risks. And we do know that Copilot is safe for our students to use. So we're very open with them, I suppose, letting them play a little bit with it, but it is in a very, very controlled manner. We also believe that they have to reference it. So part of the Teaching and Learning Committee, we are going to be looking at coming up with different ways that we can indicate when AI can be used for a piece of work. And there'll be other times when AI can't be. And we're hoping that our students will be able to understand that, yes, it can be used sometimes, but not always. And it will be used, I suppose, either as a skeleton, you spoke about the blank page earlier, so a skeleton to get them started, or for feedback at the end, but it isn't to create the work for students. Because we don't want to take from their creativity. They do have to develop their writing skills, all of the bits and pieces that are so important in school. But we want this to be their little tutor to help them out on that journey.
Interesting on that. I think definitely there is a need for a walled garden. And I think 365 gives a certain degree of that. But I also think developing the digital literacy skills of all the students will help there. And there does need to be. And that's why I was probing about the policy and the acceptable use policy. very much so around putting in guardrails or whatever you want to call them. It's the safe and ethical use. You mentioned copyright is a big one. Just before I finish on that, Sarah, what challenges do you see? You've mentioned some of them here. What do you see as some of the key things that schools are going to have to grapple with as we integrate AI more into teaching, learning and assessment?
Well, you know me, Pat, with these kind of things, I actually will always see a challenge as an opportunity. So, of course, there are going to be difficulties. And I think, like anything, the speed of change is going to be a huge thing in schools because we have been undergoing monstrous change in the last 5 or 6 years, and teachers are expected to change at the drop of a hat. They're expected to upskill. They're expected to be masters in so many different things. And we've a new senior cycle coming along, as well as all of this progression with AI. And I think there's huge pressures that I suppose teachers put on themselves and external pressures, and be it coming from senior leadership teams, because we're under different pressures. And I think there can be too much asked of people at once. So with something like AI, there are concerns and fears because we hear of horror stories, or there's the belief that it's going to take our jobs, or it shouldn't be used at all because it's going to stifle a student's development. I think if people try to educate themselves a little bit and try to open up their own mind to how it can be creatively used, it shouldn't stop any of that good learning happening at all. So I suppose to kind of sum that up, I believe the biggest challenge is everybody's mindset around this. And it's not that I believe that people aren't open to the change. I think it's people are maybe a little bit jaded, but there has been so much change. And a lot of schools are still only grappling with using technology. And now suddenly we're supposed to be using AI to these unbelievable degrees that maybe aren't possible for some people, or maybe some people simply just don't want to. And that's okay too.
I mean, that's interesting because I think it dovetails, Sarah, very well with how I wanted to round off this conversation. But I wanted to ask both of you about the teachers who are intimidated almost by the sheer power of AI tools. And also referencing what you've been talking, there's a lot of scaremongering out there that these AI bots are undermining the teacher's role and in some cases claiming to, we'll all be out of jobs in 20 years because the AI bots will have replaced us. So, Colleen, I'd like to go back. You know, I'd like your word on this, or your thoughts on it. What would you say to a teacher getting started now with Gen AI who is a little bit intimidated? How do they overcome any fears they might have?
Okay, well, I suppose, I think actually, first of all, I'd probably say that as teachers, if we're not embracing AI, we're kind of doing, I feel like we're doing our students a disservice because they're going out into a world with AI. So really, I think it's up to us to kind of prepare them for that and to make them become more aware of, you know, the negatives, but also the positives before they go out into the big world. For other teachers thinking about doing AI, I would just absolutely go for it. I mean, I personally, I've never felt there was anything to be afraid of. I've always been really excited to use it. I have to say, it's just absolutely like saved me so much time. It's really, really helped my teaching. And yeah, I think just give it a go. Maybe pair up with somebody in your school. We have a really good team here. We kind of all help each other. Coming up with some useful prompts, some easy to use prompts would really help. And even doing a bit of your own kind of research online would really help.
Sarah, I'll just bring you in on that. If we could come at it from the senior leadership perspective, what advice would you give to others in similar roles to yourself who are trying to chart, I suppose, a whole school approach to the integration of AI?
I think the advice that Colleen gave there about building a little bank of prompts to begin with, I think that has really helped us here in school. This year, when we started our training, we did develop kind of just a basic all round. There are 10 different prompts that will kind of get you out of any pickle. And different teachers are engineering them themselves to create different prompts. And I think if any school wants to start exploring AI, really basic prompts that will help a teacher to save a little bit of time, so be it with lesson planning or assessment, and then one or two little prompts for using with students. And from there, it will just explode. So that would be my number one piece of advice, to explore online. Reach out. You can reach out to us here in school. We'd be happy to help with anyone. We could share our little prompt bank. get started with that. And as soon as somebody sees that little bit of magic that comes when you put a prompt in and you get what you want, from there, people develop all of their own.
That's brilliant, Sarah. And listen, you've just got yourself another job. If possible, it would be great to even share a sample of this prompt bank. And I can share it as part of the show notes that people have something to start with. And I'm sure anyone who'd like to get in touch to chat about what you're doing, you'd be more than happy to chat with them.
Absolutely. And it'll be me stealing all of the wonderful teachers' ideas, but I'm the one who's able to pick up the phone. They're too busy teaching. But I will, of course, if anybody wants to speak with us, we'll organise that.
That's brilliant, Sarah. Look, as ever, this has been a pleasure. It's super informative and eye-opening. What I'll say, guys, before I finish, a huge thank you for taking part. And listen, I will talk to you in the very near future.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.